So let the hilarity ensue.
Yay.
What everybody... hilarity? This is superhero time.
Yeah.
It's a dark comedy.
No, this is bad comedy.
Coronation Starscream?
Here's a hint.
Fast predatory nerds.
And you won't believe the things we can do now.
3, 2, 1. And now it's time for another superhero time. With your hosts, XV.
That's a little too thick for me.
Hey, Mickey.
You know, kick it, all the power.
Paladin.
Fence are always optional.
Ken.
Hi, I'm from a bathroom in Texas.
And Fort Max.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
It's Morphin time!
But starting.
I'm XV, this is superhero time. With me this week I have Fort Max, Ken, Paladin, and Hey Mickey.
Yo.
Lope.
Hey.
Yo.
I think you did that in the wrong order.
Well, look how much we all care.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Well, we had some interesting news this week, didn't we?
Most of it today.
Yeah, weird how that's working out.
Got good timing.
Had some interesting news yesterday, too, which we'll cover on Radio Free Cybertron this week.
Or this show later on.
Yeah, probably. And a little bit on New Soundwave. We're just spreading
we're
it out
big
all
circle
over.
Jerk family.
XV is the biggest jerk of all. Oh, that reminds me, I need to get my editing file up. So anyway, while I do that, Paladin, you want to start on the news?
Well, the big piece of news today is that Shout Factory has acquired the license for Saban products.
Hooray!
How about that? Unfortunately, Saban's Masked Rider was not on the list.
And neither is Mystic
Saban's
Knights.
Masked Rider
what
was
the
on
f-
Yeah, what, why is there no Mystic Knights? I don't really get what's up with that.
Well,
they lost the
say
Masters.
They hate us, but that's because... But that'd be if this was Mattel or something.
Well, did the Saban reacquire everything they owned before they sold it off to Disney?
We assume so, but we haven't heard anything.
No, I would say no.
No, probably
because
not.
Because, for instance, I doubt that they would be buying back the various Marvel cartoons.
Well, no, because Disney's going to hold those down.
Yeah.
We haven't heard a damn thing about Robots in Disguise.
No.
All we've heard about is the stuff that we've already that's already on Netflix and in the DVD set. Well, the DVD deal, and Saban's Masked Rider.
But their deal doesn't include the movies because those still belong to Fox,
and they will forever.
Yeah,
of course,
that's
it's
fine.
Fox.
Mm-hmm. It's fine because the movies are already on DVD and easily available.
Well,
you can get,
I mean,
you get both of them for like $5 on one disc.
You know, the only thing would be like to maybe get Blu-rays of them at some point. And honestly, honestly, you really want that on Blu-ray? I mean, just think about what those CGI Ninja Zords would look like in 1080p. You can probably
imagine
see that.
Although, flip side, think of Divatox's cleavage in 1080p.
Eh.
Okay, now stop thinking about it.
Is it take advantage of that better than Turbo?
Of Divatox? Probably not. So, since it's Shout Factory doing it, one thing you can count on is that they will be affordable.
Yeah,
at the very least.
Because Shout Factory doesn't really overcharge for shit. Also, we can expect to not have very many special features.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Really,
it really depends on what they are on what they're able to have to use.
Yeah, I
know exactly what it's going to be.
Sometimes
I know exactly what some of the special features are going to be. Like for Power Rangers Season 1, they'll get the Samurai cast to do a commentary.
I feel ill all of a sudden.
I mean, Shout Factory will do some special features, but it's not really a priority for them.
What they
I think
need
it's
to do
more important
season...
to get the shows out there. Really.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
What they need to do for the first three seasons is get select episodes and have Paul Schreier and Jason Narvi do commentary tracks.
Now that would be good.
I'll pay for 2 cents just for that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it would be hard to get them in a room for a few hours over the course of a month or two to do, you know, 30 or 40 commentaries on 20-minute episodes.
Or even just a few of the Bulk and Skull episodes. That's all you really need.
Like, what I would really like to have, though, in that vein is, you know, Paul Schreier was directing more and more episodes as Power Rangers moved on and, you know, the Bulk character was reduced in prominence or, you know, gone entirely. I'd like to have some commentaries on those from him, you know, from, like, the directing point of view.
Yeah. What? When did he start directing?
The first one he directed was during Mighty Morphin Alien Rangers, Attack of the 50-Foot Bulk or whatever
they
parody
that one.
The title is.
Yeah.
Be some interesting commentary for Turbo. This is where I became a monkey.
Now, would it include the pilot to that show with Elvez?
Oh, Lord, I hope so. Oh, Elvez.
Now,
so one question I have, though, is this going to include all the early specials they had, like the Christmas special and the monster special and all that shit that wasn't officially a part of the season?
Pilot episode special.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Shout knows, and they haven't told us yet.
See, now that would be
now
the
another
easy
question
thing,
is
that would be the easy thing to monitor
now, there
special
are
features. You know, all that stuff is pre-produced. They just have to transfer it onto DVD. I'm sure it's with all the holdings that Saban got back from Disney.
Yeah, and I also probably the PSAs and the various fan club videos.
Oh, God. I still have one of this.
There's also the question of how many mistakes are going to be on the disc, because Shout Factory isn't really the best at proofreading their own work.
Power Rangers Season 1 will be the remastered version only.
Or Season 1 Part
No, it'd be like there'd be one episode that would be remastered. There'd be one episode that has like part of another episode starting it. And there'd be typos on the disc menus.
Unfortunately, what we have to really look at here is that it's going to be the same master copies that were used to produce the German DVD sets, which means it's still not going to be exactly the episodes we have.
Well, we don't really know.
Or it'll be whatever's on
because Netflix. The stuff that was on that's on the site in Netflix aren't those masters.
So it'll probably be those.
Because those the ones on the German set did have stuff cut out and did have German dubbing for some of the fight scenes.
I know that especially
with
happened
the
during
and stuff,
In Space.
But that's not. But they did not have. But what's on Netflix and what they had online with the one, however, 100, however many days of Power Rangers, didn't have that.
But they were still different from the U.S. broadcast version.
Some of them were slightly. Yeah. Mostly the episodes where they didn't have
all the ADR done.
Well, yeah, where they didn't. After the half of the cast left.
No, but I'm also thinking of like you know Doomsday, where only the U.S. broadcast version had Zordon summoning Titanus.
Yeah,
you know, there's stuff like that.
But
where
still, it's minor that, but that's still not. But I mean, the German DVDs had a lot of other issues beyond that.
Yeah.
So
it'll probably be better than the German DVDs at least.
So they're supposed to start this summer. How long do we think it'll take them to release all 17 seasons?
Well, it depends how
badly. I
don't
think they will get all of them out.
It depends how badly the first few seasons bomb at retail.
Which they probably will. Mm. I don't know, maybe.
So we might as well have just had Disney release the seasons then.
Well, I imagine.
No, in that case, they'd only release half of each season.
Except for Overdrive.
I imagine the first few sets will probably sell decently.
Plus, again, it's a Shout set. They're not going to cost much.
Yeah.
The first few seasons will probably sell decently. I don't know about getting through all 17, though.
Well, okay, you got to remember, too, Shout has their online store. They're putting a lot of exclusive content through that, even if it's just, you know, like, large sets that wouldn't really work well at general retail.
Like
know,
G1.
Or Beast Wars Complete Series set.
Yeah.
You know, it's possible that this stuff will still have an outlet, even if it does not do well at brick and mortar.
Yeah, so possibly.
And do we think they'll go in order of seasons, or will they mix it up a bit?
I'm sure they will start with season one. You know, probably once they get past the first few seasons, they might start jumping around, but it might be for the better that way.
Well, here's another question. Are brick and mortar stores even going to carry them at all? Because a lot of Shout Factory stuff, stores don't bother to stock it. Like Transformers Prime, nobody around in town actually bothered to get it in. They got the shelf tag for it, but they never ordered it.
Huh. Really? The Targets here have it.
Target has it, but none of the Walmarts in my area got it. They had the shelf tag for it, but none of them got the product. And that's sort of an ongoing problem with Shout Factory stuff, is that stores don't get it in.
Yeah, well, I know I haven't seen Headmasters anywhere at any point.
Well, that could be another sign of the decline in brick-and-mortar stores and specialty outlets.
True.
Also, who's going to get Headmasters without the dub?
Right, that's kind of the thing with Headmasters and, all of the Japanese Transformers series. Without the dub track, it's not really good retail product.
Or good product, period.
Of course not. It's Headmasters.
That's not really the point for it, Max. Subtitle only stuff, no matter what it actually is a hard sell at a store. That's specialty purchase right there.
Yeah.
And we do mean special.
And that probably wouldn't even be stocked with, the anime stuff, so...
Well, it applies to more than just that, though. I mean, Reboot never came in either. That never even showed up at FYE, which they carry all kinds of obscure shit there.
It's true. I think the only last thing I saw was the G1 sets and some G.I. Joe stuff. But I haven't seen any. I haven't really seen anything else with the major releases.
I don't even think when Rhino was doing it, I don't think I ever saw Beast Wars past season 1 in any stores.
Media Play had them.
Oh yeah, I picked up season 2 and 3 at Media Play.
Ah, well, see, by that time in Nashville, Media Play had been closed in favor of Best Buy.
No, it's not true. Because Best Buy at 100 Oaks was still there up until the very end when Media Play went under.
The Best Buy at 100 Oaks?
I'm sorry, Media Play at 100 Oaks.
There was a Media Play at 100 Oaks?
Uh-huh, at the far end next to Michael's.
Huh. I only knew about the one in Hickory Hollow. That one had been gone for a long time.
Yeah, that one closed down.
Okay,
well, anyway, this is all pointless, anyway.
Only vaguely.
So back to stuff that sort of matters?
Or we could continue with our show.
Figure arts?
Pizza cats?
I say figure arts.
Rates? But whatever, just talk.
All right, and due for release next June is Figure Arts Kamen Rider Meteor.
Finally.
Yay.
They have decided his fate.
I want it.
The thing about that bothers me is the head. It doesn't seem like the eyes pop out quite enough. Like it's not quite
maybe they're not squeezing
clear.
Hard enough.
Well, it's not quite clear enough. It just seems too obscured somehow.
You mean you're wanting googly eyes?
Well, no. It's his eyes on the figure just from the initial photos look too foggy.
Maybe they'll have accessory pack with add-on eyes and planet hands.
Maybe he just needs some Visine.
Or it'll end up like Axel's head. Which I still haven't changed out.
Well, you'll probably
it's a shame that
anyway.
Meteor is in such a bad show.
Well, it's not a bad show, it's just not a great show.
Well, to me it is.
It's a decent
it's not
show.
Really bad, it's just not all that good.
Yeah. Like I've been saying, it's like my enthusiasm for watching it isn't what it used to be. But when I do watch it, it's good. It's just I don't feel much drive to hurry towards it.
It's just kind of there.
Yeah, it's like I enjoy it. It's just I'm not sitting on the edge of my seat or anything.
Kind of like Thundercats.
No, because I actively enjoy and look forward to Thundercats.
Or are you
even though I know it's not all that great a show, it's full of flaws, but I still really
I could enjoy it then until the theme song ends.
Oh,
damn.
But the theme song is 5 seconds long.
I believe that's the point.
Oh. Don't mind the song.
But it's Go Busters, the moment the Raw goes up, I'm downloading that. But Forza, I'll wait for the sub. I'll wait till Monday to watch it for this, and I'll do the same next week.
And back to toys?
Ghost Ager, but...
No, it's not. Ghost Ager is f*** this shit, I ain't watching it. I'll actively enjoy Forza. It's just you're kind of not really at the moment.
Okay, toys.
Ghost Ager is to Tokusatsu what Revenge of the Fallen is to Transformers.
Ow.
You know what I'm loving about this? Fort Max is trying to push it back on topic, and everybody's talking over him. That's just fun. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay, also announced this week was Figo Arts Hyper Shinken Red.
Hooray.
Exclusive, next. Surprising absolutely nobody.
And coming with almost nothing.
Only one here that actually wants it, so.
That's nice.
No, it's not.
That's sad.
I didn't say I would pay exclusive prices for it, but I do sort of want it.
Well, just wait a little while. You can get pretty cheap on Mandarake.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Wait till it goes down to 3,000 yen. It'll
it's not like it's a Gokaiger.
Yeah.
Glad I lost interest in collecting all of those.
If only I'm happy with my two.
Yeah, well, six, so I can't say anything.
Good job, Ken.
Ken of the iron willpower.
Well, I never tried to have any willpower with those.
I thought Ken was the amazing ability and Go was the iron will.
What?
Huh?
Geki Ranger jokes.
I'm Geki Blue somehow?
Oh, that's right, yes.
Oh, no, Geki Chopper, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Never mind. What was the last figure art?
Kamen Rider Guy from Ryuki.
Yawn.
If you watch Dragon Knight, he's Kamen Rider Thrust.
Oh, yeah.
So he's Kamen Rider Cardinal? Fort Mac might get that joke. But then who would be Kamen Rider Pope Man?
Kamen Rider Thrust sounds like a three-part joke about your mom.
Which part?
Only three parts?
Well, he does have three horns.
Hmm.
Too
easy.
That's your mom.
Ba-dum-bum-ba-dum-bum.
Okay, so also in new toys is the Legends Mobirate that came out.
And it kind of sucks from the sound of it.
Yeah, I noticed that a lot of the original sounds from the number combinations have been removed, including ones used in the show. And, well, it's cheaper, though, a little bit. And but it only comes with the one Aka Red key instead of the three Ranger keys.
But they added new sounds to it.
Ish, yeah.
Ish? Ish?
Well, I mean, it's got, you know, sounds for the Go Buster keys.
Yeah.
And it seems like most of the new sounds added are for, let's see, if I remember how this works right, you put the key in, you turn it, and then when you push the action button twice, it gives like a little bit of information about that Sentai in Japanese.
Oh, because on the original one, it would just say the team name,
then
it would do the catchphrase and the full team name.
Either way, though, you know, like 37, including Aka Red, of those new sounds is just the information speech.
That's kind of boring.
Especially if you don't speak Japanese.
Well, they're very simple sentences.
Still.
Like, I could tell that Aka Red said that he was the legendary Red Warrior, and that's it.
Ah.
Fantastic.
You know, it's nice that it costs a little bit less. I'm not really a fan of the gold paint that replaced the silver on it, and I'm just not that interested in this anymore.
Kind of glad I just kind of sort of got what I got.
Yeah, I don't think the original Mobirate's price is going to go down as a result of this.
Nah.
Just because they are functionally different still.
Yeah.
So it'll make the price go up instead.
I'll probably stay about the same. The GoBusters key sounds are neat, though. It includes the GoBusters transformation sounds in there.
Oh, so it's nice. Morphing time and all that?
No, just the sound effects.
Oh, I was going to say, if it's...
Yeah,
that would
it
actually make,
morphing
that would make
time,
it,
yeah.
Yeah, that would make it worth getting.
Sadly,
although
not.
For the same price, you could get an actual GoBuster morphin brace.
That
would
yeah,
do
but
the
it doesn't really
sounds.
Do... Mm.
As looks enough. Better, too.
Hey, that reminds me, though. Paladin, did you ever get your ace in?
Yes.
You never sent me a review. You bastard.
I learned from the best.
So since you hate ace so much you didn't review him, you sold him to me for $30, right?
No.
Okay, fine. 20? 25.
20.
$1.
I know they don't teach you math in the South, but that's less.
No, these are professional negotiation tactics. No, if this was a true Southern negotiation, there would be a shotgun pointed at you.
That's not a Southern negotiation. That's a Detroit negotiation.
That's a Southern wedding.
I thought the Detroit version was an Uzi.
We can't afford Uzis.
That's why they steal them.
No, that's what they sell drugs for, so they can buy guns.
To sell more drugs.
Well, to protect
Speaking of
their
selling
drugs,
let's go back to high school. Time for Forza.
Oh, actually, not yet. We do have one more piece of news, which is vaguely connected to our topic.
That was almost a good segue, though.
Not really.
It's on superhero.
Here's a segue. That's the important thing.
It's going right over the cliff.
So it actually turns out that Figuarts is finally meeting Maddie Collector because they're offering a Tiger and Bunny variant exclusively through a lottery.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I thought Ken might want to talk about that.
Bandai.
Yeah, that's about right.
That's also Bandai's opinion on everything.
Yeah.
Bandai? That doesn't really make any sense.
But Ken, don't you already have this character?
Oh, yeah,
Bandai hates every other Bandai.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I have a Wild Tiger, and I'm fine with it. It's just that it's missing things that they should have put into the main release, and then they put it in other releases that it's only the same figure with different hands or the same figure with a different head. And it's not the same figure with a different deco. Barely.
A different stamp
on the back.
Yeah.
And it's not like, it's not even like, you know, a repaint or something like that.
Yeah, so the open mask Wild Tiger, there's 3,000 of them and you have to get them by lottery.
30,000? Either way,
Okay, the lottery will have 10,000 winners. 3,000 will get the Wild Tiger figuarts. 7,000 get a keychain.
And that only makes you think, how the hell are they going
to... And 12,000 of them will lose their credit card information.
No. This is, you know, Bandai and Maddie Collector merging, not Funpub.
Maddie Collector got hit, too.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
Yeah, they deserve
that's
it.
That's new.
But that only makes you think, how are they going to release Barnaby?
Well, no, see, I figured that out. They're going to release Barnaby at regular retail because they're going to understand how bad it was they released Wild Tiger as a lottery exclusive.
But then you can't get both.
Yeah, of course, they won't be able to re-release Wild Tiger like that because it will, you know, devalue the lottery prize Wild Tiger.
See, it's one thing. It's one thing like if Axel Booster comes with an improved head for the original Axel. That's a bit different. That's fine. Because it's a whole different figure, more or less.
Well, I think that's the logic here, though. This is basically the same figure with one minor change that's not going to matter to a lot of people. So let's give it away in a lottery.
Well, except that he spends like 50% of the time in the show.
No, that's not important, Ken. That's not important.
Besides, in another year or so, they'll start dubbing it and they'll have shitty American Tiger and Bunny toys. And you'll be thankful they had this lottery thing.
Well, I ain't getting that, so.
Yeah, Playmates is going to pick up the line.
Oh.
Well, okay. Now, to be fair, though, look at the classics Ninja Turtles Playmates is doing.
Now, have you seen any of those on the shelf yet?
They're not due until August.
Well, then don't count those chickens before they've hatched.
Oh, I know, but at
How
least...
How is Playmates still in business?
I forget that they are.
Witchcraft?
I'm just saying, though, you know, pending materialization on the shelf, they're at least capable of designing a decent action figure if they want to.
So they only wanted two for Turtles?
On it.
Now, on the other hand, you know, the Tiger and Bunny American line was made by Bandai America. It could be the Kamen Rider Dragon Knight line again. In fact, they could just remold some Tiger and Bunny. They could remold Tiger and Bunny figures out of the Dragon Knight leftovers.
I don't even remold, just repaint them.
I thought by it being the Dragon Knight line all over again, you meant just it was going to still be on shelves 5 years later.
No, they're gonna bring Tiger and Bunny over and just call it Kamen Rider Dragon Knight. So that they can just claim that the toys that are in the store still are the toy line for it.
Oh,
And the kids won't notice the difference.
But yeah, that was fun. So now it's space time.
So first, there was Samurai. Happened. This episode was actually more fun to watch simply because of the hilariously bad acting from Antonio.
So it's just like any episode.
No, it was actually funny in how bad it was.
Intentionally funny or
hard to say.
No, Samurai funny.
It was actually funny in Samurai's how bad it was, as opposed though. To boring in how bad it was.
Okay, so they actually did adapt the episode where Daigoyo is introduced.
Yes.
Okay, so what did they do with Daigoyo?
Well, okay, we have to go in order
here,
though.
The light sword.
No, Fort Max, be quiet. We have to go in order here. So, you know, Antonio is still all freaked out over having almost been eaten when he was transposed with a fish.
Like Genta.
Right.
Uh-huh. Should be thankful nobody peed on him.
Yeah, well, they didn't use that part of the Shinkanger episode. Anyway.
Well, they should have.
So, you know, it goes through basically the same process of, okay, he's too freaked out to be a ranger and uses fish-themed gear anymore. So he wants to quit. Except this time, it's not his idea to build a replacement for him on the team. G pulls out this old junky blue lantern from the closet and claims that it's the ancient light zord.
Oh,
that
God.
Antonio needs to program and make into a proper zord.
Oh, Lord.
Which I'm calling bullshit on right now.
What the f***?
Of course it's bullshit. It's Samurai.
So Daigoyo does not talk.
No, Daigoyo does not talk.
Well, I guess...
That's the kindest treatment they've given to any of the Shinkenger characters.
And,
by not adapting him at all.
And, of course, the original lantern prop they used was not even, like, a paper lantern. It was just, you know, some camp lantern.
Does this... Oh, f***ing hell? What? even Mighty Morphin got that right? Good Lord.
Yeah, they just got, like, some old Coleman lantern out of a storage locker or something.
Because those are totally the same thing.
Yes. Well, now, to be perfectly fair, you know, neither version would have looked like the American toy anyway, so.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say, does it turn into a spider?
Not yet.
Oh, it will.
Well, I don't know, we haven't gotten any American original CGI yet,
so
have
this,
we?
This means we got Akamaru finally, then.
Yeah, they're calling him Serrator.
Okay.
Sure.
Why not?
Not.
Because it's Samurai, that's why.
Serrator.
Yeah.
He serrates.
I guess.
I serrated your mom. She died.
He serrates. He makes julienne fries.
Yeah.
So, Forze, then.
But, see, what's...
Forze,
what's,
then.
What's important, though, is
Itose.
How... What's important is how G got Antonio over his fear of fish. He stuffed a piece of sushi in his mouth. That he was carrying around
That's
in his pocket.
That's not a euphemism for something, is it?
I'm going to watch Shinkenger when we're done here. Just to kind
Good
of
idea.
Wash it out of my mouth.
So, how about that Forze? I think Paladin can take this one.
Yeah, what the hell?
My brain's a little messed up right now. Go ahead.
Right now.
It'll be quicker anyway.
Uh-huh.
I know, I can't really make fun of you after the mess that JD left us with last week.
When's JD going to be back?
Maybe next week, I don't know.
Oh, hell.
I'll send him your regards, Paladin.
Switch on!
Okay, so recap from last week, and Jake manages to ground pound cancer with the power dizer.
Impressive.
Well, he knows the heavens tornado.
That's not a euphemism, right?
He breaks dance with the power dizer.
Also, cancer is kind of indestructible, isn't he?
Yeah.
Cancer actually, always resurfaces.
I am at least kind of liking cancer as a villain at this point.
It finally struck me that cancer probably will never be properly defeated until Cosmic States is debuted.
Yeah, he's at least seeming more effective than either Scorpion or Libra at this point.
You haven't seen much of Libra recently.
Oh.
Gee, I wonder about that.
Hmm.
So Miu doesn't react well to the fact that the Kamen Rider Club can, in fact, function without them, so she storms off.
Imagine that.
Yes.
But she seemed fine with it last week.
Until Shun ran up, at least.
I think it was the clown suit that pushed her over the edge.
Yeah, that would be the same reaction anybody would have to that, honestly.
Because what the hell?
Remember when Shun was cool?
And then Meteor showed up.
No, then it came to be, like, episode 6.
Yeah.
Well, no, Shun was all right, basically, until...
No,
then they stopped letting him talk.
Yeah.
No, then they realized, oh, he's half Gaijin. Make him a fool.
Yeah. Again, when Meteor showed up.
No, that was much earlier.
No, he was still kind of useful with the Powerdizer.
For a little while. He did catch the bus that one time.
Yeah, and then, he tried fighting Scorpio, and that right before Meteor showed up again.
Yes, but anytime he wasn't using the Powerdizer.
Yeah,
See, that's the problem. He pilots the CGI.
Yeah. The poor bastard.
Anyway, the newspaper chick from last time posts up stories claiming that the senior Zodiarts are responsible for the damages.
Kengo does not take that well.
And isn't
Kengo doesn't take anything very
actually,
well.
Actually, isn't newspaper chick like the kid, like the girl villain from ABBA Ranger?
What?
Maybe. I haven't watched nearly enough ABBA Ranger to make the distinction.
Plus, that would, be like a 10-year difference. Which actually, I guess, would match up more or less. Possible.
Maybe.
I haven't seen anybody mention it.
So anyway,
Miu's walking around outside the rabbit hutch, which could not possibly go wrong in any way. People do that all the time.
Yeah, they just take a stroll on the moon.
Sure.
And Foz once again tries to convince her to go with Shun, still totally oblivious to most things in this world, including her feelings for him.
Uh-huh.
Or that Shun is right in the rabbit hutch hearing everything.
In a fetal position, crying.
Did Inoue write this episode?
No, no one fell into a river. Or got blinded.
Well done.
And then Foz fondles her pillows for some reason.
Wait, what?
He goes... when he goes in hugging them, and then Shun punches him in the head.
Yes.
Which, actually, I kind of liked when he held his fist up and it was all bloody.
Yeah.
Incredibly fake bloody, but yeah, still, yeah. Nice touch. Proves that the suit is actually supposed to be tough.
Yeah,
Forze's head is made of ketchup.
You don't want to punch a Kamen Rider in the head.
And to Fort Max's question before, yeah, that is the little girl from ABBA Ranger.
Huh. What do you know?
Meanwhile, the rest of the Kamen Rider Club confronts Newspaper Chick and confirms that she's the Arukenimon Zodiart.
Or rather, they run out when she's holding the switch up.
I think this is like the first time in a month that the switch user has actually been the person we suspected it to be.
Yeah. They didn't really try to throw anything else except for the fake ones from last week.
Yeah, well, they had more stuff going on this week.
They only had one guest star this week, so...
Well, one new
Tomoko's nowhere in sight, so Ryu can finally transform back into Meteor.
Yeah.
Yeah, this week, she's kind of focusing her attention on Jake.
Mm.
That will not end well.
He's trying to prove useful, or he's being forced to be proven useful.
And his reward is a big bottle of centipede extract.
That he can't open.
Because
he has no stamina, apparently.
He has
great bursts of strength, but no stamina.
Well, strength,
no staying
but
power.
No, but far less staying.
Sure, he'll hear that a lot in his life.
Yeah, his boyfriends are going to be crushed.
And meanwhile, Meteor gets tentacle raped by Arukenimon.
That was a decent enough fight, at least. I kind of liked how she pulled him. He just used his limit break when... when she was yanking him towards him. Like, yeah, this isn't going to work.
That whole, like, 3-inch punch trope.
Yeah.
So after he was ganked.
But Arukenimon blows up and gets right back up again, so even cancer switch users are pretty tough.
Well, that's the first time we've had one get blown up before being last one, isn't it?
Well, the Orion in the first episode. He just kind of vanished.
Yeah.
So Power Geyser stands guard over graduation, even though Jake's actually falling asleep inside the damn thing.
No, and the Power Geyser's already asleep.
And the Power Geyser's mimicking the motions again.
And finally, it's time for prom dancing, and Ryusei gets to go with the goth chick from earlier.
Or, to be exact, he was forced to go with the goth chick.
He was
go with her or be cursed by the other goth chick and all her friends.
Yeah.
And the other two ex-Zodiarchs decided to go together, I guess.
Because the Dragon Zodiarch can get Gintara to go with him.
Well, and then we get to find out why Camera Chick really wanted to stop the prom.
Because she doesn't want to graduate.
No.
You know, there's easier ways to accomplish that.
Yeah, just not
go to classes
for a few weeks.
Rider girls.
Oh, right. The Kamen Rider girls. Yay.
Well, now, you know, once you set aside the fact that, you know, it's all creepy and everything, it's not like they sound terrible.
No, but it's still creepy.
This is probably the least terrible the Rider girls have ever sounded.
Yes, it is. Because they're not trying to butcher a Showa theme.
Although the instrumental version of their version of Let's Go Rider Kick actually sounds pretty cool when singing.
When you remove all their voices.
Yes, I'm very fond of that. Good job, girls.
Yeah, when I saw them show up, I noticed it in the credits because I saw girls on one of the songs. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. At least they didn't prance out with the belts like in the O's movie.
That would have been too meta.
They did it in the O's movie.
Again, it's O's.
Yeah. That's 2 weeks now we've seen them. Hopefully we can take a break from that.
Well, they weren't singing in the O's movie.
No, but they were still there. Well, I guess that's the best way to have them there.
However, they...
to have them on site.
Their backing band was the Japanese Blues Brothers.
That was kind of cool, actually.
And before they start singing, Ryusei points out to Shun and Miyu that the new administration for the Kamen Rider Club isn't as perfect as it looks.
Yuki panics. Imagine that.
Very subtle.
Jake kind of sucks. Gee, who didn't know that?
Well, specifically that he has great temporary strength, but no stamina.
Yeah, he has great spurts, but no staying power.
And he sucks.
Yeah. I wonder how Ryusei came upon that knowledge.
Moving on.
I assume that Tachibana probably has a lot of free time.
There's a mental image I do not need.
Miyu finally humors Gentaro and agrees to dance with Shun, but they both recognize that the food droids are at the f***ing prom.
Also, again, subtle.
Also, someone was trying to eat the ice cream cone one.
That poor girl.
Is the most entertaining thing the food droids have ever done.
For all 5 seconds.
Yeah, the food droids were actually hiding as food. So, halfway through the series, the food droids finally make their transformation modes useful for 5 seconds.
Hmm. Can kind of tell they were just really something that the show people got handed by Bandai and were like, well, what the f*** are we supposed to even?
I am now imagining them as like reverse Megatron at reverse convoy. Ha ha,
fool you.
Of 5 seconds. Masters.
It's just, you know, memory gadgets and Double were useful in the first episode before Double even appeared.
Yeah, and they were fairly...
They were fine.
Because, it'd be like Shotaro acting like Batman.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have a camera that can fly around on its own and take pictures. The stag phone's a little iffy.
But it was kind of all over the place because they just used it as their communicator.
And, you know, the Kandroids...
It's a phone that you never misplace because you can just get it to come to you.
Yeah. The Kandroids were pretty all over the place, too.
The Kandroids are all over the place, but I think they work well within the context of their series.
Yeah.
Whereas
especially
the food
considering
the food droids,
who paid for them to be made.
Which makes you wonder why they weren't cake droids.
Because the cake is a lie.
Or pastry droids, anyway. But no, I mean, the food droids are just...
Because then how is he going to have Satnaka eat it?
I'm sure she would find a way to eat it.
She's paid enough.
I'm sure she can extend her jaw a little bit. She's probably got lots of practice with that.
Moving on.
But no, the food droids are just like, okay, we want to copy the successful concept from the last two series, but we're out of ideas for things for them to transform into. Maybe food would be neat.
Well, that's kind of been a lot of things since Double.
Alternatively, the hot dog one makes sense considering who designed it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you have to keep in mind they are all designed by Yuki.
Yeah.
So why aren't they space themed?
Because they're probably limited.
Yeah, I thought
useful...
so.
Yeah, because he only lets her design them when she's hungry.
There's only limited usefulness for things that transform into Hayabusa on the Earth.
You know, well, remember what JD was saying last night? When you're trying to spend 5 minutes figuring out a way to explain something, it's probably a mistake of the show.
No, I don't.
So anyway, Foz is getting his ass kicked by Aru, Kenimon, and Cancer again. So Shun and Miyu leave the prom to go help the Kamen Rider Club.
And Cancer withstands a limit break from Magnet States, doesn't it?
Actually, he knocks himself out of the Power Dizer's hands at the last second.
He withstood the limit break earlier in the app.
He did.
Yeah, Cancer is kind of like all over the place in terms of being overpowered.
Yeah. It's going to take... I guess
that's why they need Cosmic States, because the only way to beat cancer is with radiation.
Oh ho.
Yes.
Yeah, that joke was great the first time we did it a month ago.
And even then.
Still well, probably going to be how it ends up, though.
Yes.
So Shun admits to Gentaro that he was Mia's intended prom date, and he shares a dance with Miyu just as the episode ends. But oh no, wait, it's not over, because Shun and Miyu are still in the rabbit hutch the next day because their university campuses are close enough for them to still be part of the club.
That was kind of...
And Shun has this hilarious sweater vest.
Yes, he does.
Well, at least they got rid of the plaid pants.
For now.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll just decide he liked them.
See, what it should have been, it shouldn't have been that their colleges were close enough by for them to come into the club. They should have just moved into the rabbit hutch.
Oh, and Miyu names herself chairwoman of the Kamen Rider Club so she can still have authority over Yuki.
So Yuki still has no power.
Yes. That's probably for the best, really.
Now, next week, though, actually looks moderately interesting.
Yeah, the writers finally remembered they have a plot.
Yes! That looks like Cancer at least finds out who Meteor is, and we get to meet Gintaro's grandfather.
Either that, or it's a big misunderstanding in the preview, and Cancer wants to make Ryusei a Zodiart.
Or that. Either way would be interesting, actually.
Yeah.
So next week actually could be interesting.
It probably won't be, though.
No, that might be. It's possible. They have their
depends
moment.
On how badass Gintaro's grandpa is.
This is true.
Probably pretty badass.
Yeah, leather jacket.
Well, he's an old Japanese guy, which means he's either a badass or he's like completely decrepit, and the latter does not seem to be the case.
Yeah, so...
or he's also completely perverted.
Well, no, I mean that does not necessarily get excluded by either of the other two choices.
That's just optional.
Yeah, that's an add-on. That's your Tamashii exclusive effects part.
Or your BotCon add-on exclusive.
It's your Tamashii Nation's lottery prize.
Oh.
No, that's a bad thing. The Tamashii Festival.
Yeah.
No, those you can actually get.
No, you know what the perversion is? It's the Tamashii box.
So anyway, halfway through Forze now.
I thought we were done with Forze.
Yeah. The series, not the episode.
Oh. This is series in general.
Well, I think Mickey's done with Forze. He's not paying attention right now.
No.
Which must mean it's time for Buster.
Who you gonna call?
Let's driving.
Scramble.
Okay, Mickey, go for it.
Ah. The hell? Ah. Oh, I stepped in the cat.
You stepped on... You stepped
Did you say you stepped Did you say you stepped in the cat?
On the cat.
Oh. Sounded like... Okay.
Yeah, it sounded something like that, Ken.
So, Go Busters.
Mickey?
Working on it.
Get your foot out of the cat and let's go.
Okay.
Let's busting.
Mission 3. So we start off in cyberspace with Enter having the brilliant idea of, hey, why don't we just make a whole bunch of monsters all at once and then completely stomp them flat? And his eyes all, no!
Yeah, I kind of feel sorry for Enter there for a second. He's like, I have this plan. No plan! Kill! Destroy!
Apparently, his boss is fucking crazy.
Yeah, you gathered that.
But it kind of hampers your effectiveness if you're prevented from actually winning.
Yeah. Yeah, then apparently floating head is just, you know, an average manager.
Yes.
Especially in Japan.
So, basically, Enter has my job. He's the bitch.
So Enter slides his way into a hospital wearing a fantastic disguise without taking off his Digimon goggles. And he decides to turn a hypodermic needle into a robot, which
sure.
is... The end result is hilarious. I love his caution construction tie.
Yes.
And his lab coat.
His blocky lab coat.
And it's the first one of these robots that has, like, a real personality.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
The others talked, yeah. But this is the first one that actually, like, is a character.
True.
He's, kind of had it. If it wasn't for his head design, he could be a Go-Onger villain.
Well, Go-Kai yeah. sort of had the same thing. It's like the first few monsters of the week were just kind of generic. Then it wasn't until later you got kind of the amusing ones.
And they were all killed off in one episode.
Not jealous, though.
Well, he's an exception.
He's exceptional.
Yes, he is.
He's special.
I bet his kid is very special, too.
Bless his heart.
Special. So, cue theme song, then cut to the team scoping out the hospital, because, you know, that's where they're detecting the Inertron leak. And they think, something's going on, because there's no people and all the windows are closed.
And it's not their day off.
And Yoko just tries to be contrary just to be contrary.
A bitch.
Well, yes.
Well, she's kind of getting sick. She's kind of getting sick already of Hiromu, like, being the best at everything, which he apparently is.
Well, maybe she'd be less of a bitch if she wasn't a teenage girl. She should try not being one.
She should try not being.
And she should also try not being hypoglycemic all the time.
Yeah.
Or at least
watch her calorie intake.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least suggested she have some chocolate.
The Go Busters enter the hospital, scoping out the place, and what's behind door number one?
Dump troops.
No, it's something from a Twin Peaks episode, I think.
Well, no, now we had something similar to this.
You only think that because you're old enough to remember.
Peaks. It's holy crap. Is this Bioman?
Actually, you know what they reminded
yes.
me of?
Bioman?
You know what they reminded
what
me
the
of?
Why the man?
The cyborgs from Sun Vulcan.
No, what it reminded me of was the one episode of Go-Onger where townspeople got converted into Ugats in Junk World.
But anyway, Hiromu reminds Yellow that, remember, these are real people, so don't shoot them.
She's like, no shit.
They'd have beat the shit out of them, though.
Well, you know, they'll recover from broken bones and, you know, ruptured spleens. But if they get shot through the chest by the camera beam gun things, that's a little harder to recover from.
Oh, it's but, fine. They're in a hospital.
It is nice to actually make commentary on that later. Nice of you to try and kill us in a hospital.
So Enter shows up and starts Frenching up the place.
Really starting to enjoy Enter just in general.
I love Enter.
He's fantastic.
He just shows up to be all style without much point to anything.
He's like, you know, I just want to have a little genocide here. You can abide that, right?
And of course, Yoko gets to be a bitch again by preemptively pointing out his French to Hiromu.
He's like, no shit.
Yeah. I know.
She's the only one who didn't get that.
I actually kind of understand why she's being so bitchy, just because this guy shows up, he's had two missions, and she's probably had several more, and he's just...
Well, she's probably had several more, like, simulation
Japan,
missions.
Female, this is about
she's
the nicest treatment she could
of
get.
Training.
Yeah, and he's just kind of waltzing in and doing everything perfectly.
Yeah, that'd be very frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ryuji's just kind of an easygoing guy, but I can kind of understand why she's being so incredibly bitchy.
she's being like a kid, but Hiromu points out she is a kid.
That was great.
I'm 20. You're 16. Adult. Child.
Although, from my perspective, a 20-year-old is also a child.
Yeah.
In general.
Really, four years difference is not really that much.
Well, when you're 20, it seems like it.
Yeah.
The younger you are, the smaller age differences matter more.
Yeah.
Because the difference between a 70-year-old and 80-year-old is, like, negligible.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, Captain Winky Coffee detects that there's new monsters coming in.
Captain Winky Coffee.
They still haven't said what his name is yet. So it's going to be 42 minutes before the monster shows up.
42. That's longer than the episode is.
Yeah, it's a long episode, apparently.
Although if JD was doing the summary for us this week, it would be about the time we got to that point in the summary. Hi, JD.
Sup?
So about then, Yoko runs out of energy because she hasn't been taking the candy, and she retaliates by calling Hiromu a chicken.
Yeah.
Amusingly, just the word isn't enough to send him to a complete state of shock, but it's enough to make him stagger about hilariously.
His mental image of
it. And Ryuji's all like, why would you use your own teammate's weak point against him? And she just gets this, like, total bitchy look on her face.
If he has to ask that, he really doesn't understand females.
Obviously. Or teenagers.
Yeah.
Well, it's been so long since he was one, after all.
Oh, I feel his pain.
Well, he's still not as old as Mickey.
We're going to have to point that out.
So, the team discovers a doctor in distress, at which point it's morphin' time, and they save him.
By throwing him.
Yes. They find out that the hospital's about to lose power because they're running out of juice, and everyone's going to die if they don't get some more juice.
Yeah. I did like the shot, though, when he just shot that cannon fodder point blank in the face.
Yeah, that was a very Bioman face explosion.
For the man.
For the man!
So, the team hatches a plan to split up. Blue's gonna go get the more go-go juice from the tank.
Go-go juice!
Whereas Yellow and Red will go stop the monster.
Oh, I kind of like that. It's tactical thinking, which is not something you see too terribly often.
Mm-hmm. So, Enter plugs his computer into the wall, which makes dump troops appear, which, okay, sure.
And then it's morphin' time again?
Yeah, they morph like, what, three times?
I guess that's just how they put the helmets back on.
I guess.
They can't.
Very
they
noisy group.
Yeah, apparently they just tossed their helmets too, so.
We had no glasses tosses in this episode. I was disappointed.
I don't think they really had time for that. Maybe next week.
Well, I assume they tossed them before they went in the hospital.
It doesn't count if you don't see it.
I assume they tossed their salads. Move on.
So, launching a monkey truck to go get the Energon.
From a wall of shipping containers.
Practical transforming wall of shipping containers.
Yes. Yes, those things are stacked just right to make a closing hatch.
Yes.
How convenient.
So, one thing I'm putting together here is that the Energon, apparently it's not just like energy, it's like a physical substance.
It's like propane.
Yeah.
They protect Energon and Energonic accessories.
Yes. But uh-oh, it's so been 42 right minutes already, so here comes the monster to interrupt the monkey.
I'm surprised it took that long to get there, actually.
Yeah,
the monkey
and I'm surprised
barely notices at first.
I'm surprised Hiromu and Yoko didn't make more progress in their mission in that time either.
Well, actually, I'm not.
If Inter kept
remember,
you know, spamming,
remember which two it is.
They were probably
bitch and chicken.
And also, they got delayed by a whiny little girl sitting in the middle of the hospital floor. Which...
Someone other than Yoko?
Ha ha ha.
And damn it, they had to bring back the photo of crying, or the video of crying Yoko from a baby.
Well, and plus,
we all
remember,
need to see that
this
again.
This was a girl sitting crying, not a girl sitting bitching. So it couldn't be Yoko.
That flashback is going to be like the Nicole Piano of this show.
Oh,
it's gonna be like AG reaching for that girl that's exploding.
Oh god, that was about the same effect. So
yeah,
I'm surprised Dante didn't have. I don't know why he did.
I'm having flashbacks. Let's keep moving.
But thankfully, the needle droid shows up to tentacle rape them away.
Hooray!
And then they have their big shiny happy family moment. They said, "Let's team up and fight them and put our differences aside." So. They teleport outside to continue the battle.
No, they don't teleport outside.
What happened to that little girl? She's like, she just vanished.
She's still inside. But they didn't teleport outside. They used the momentum of the monster dragging them toward it and just, you know, like, rammed him out the window.
Which is a lot more than...
some momentum works.
And they rammed him out of the window into the hospital parking lot.
Yes.
Not into the pipe farm.
Yes!
Or to the dock with that crane, but... into the actual parking lot you see before.
Yeah, that I was actually kind of impressed.
I get the impression that Super Sentai has gotten its budget expanded this year.
Yeah. All that Gokaiger.
Well, they did get a nice money bin from Gokaiger.
Yeah.
They got to put some of it to good use.
But see, now, here's
the
episode
forever,
getting...
you know?
Well,
this is where the episode starts getting interesting, though.
See, though, that's
they
not
do something a... that
oh, sorry.
Super Sentai never does, and that's they show the passage of time within a single day.
Yeah,
that's
because
uncommon.
It's dusk now. The sun is starting to set.
But, you know, transitioning from, like, how they did from the hallway out the window and into the parking lot isn't even really a money thing. That's just a direction thing.
No, but using the actual parking lot outside that they showed earlier...
True.
Instead of one of their usual shooting locations...
That's true.
And all that action inside of a building... You know.
Yeah, you hardly ever see that much action inside unless it's that one dark warehouse.
Oh yeah, definitely. Because right. I mean, I was surprised at how much of the episode actually took place with them fighting inside the building.
Right, that costs more money to do.
That's true.
Well, they'll counterbalance that and send them to the Edo period at least twice.
I have no doubt.
Well, again, Kobayashi is writing, so.
All right,
I don't generally have a problem with Kobayashi. It's just that one trope. Yeah,
Gorilla
ahead,
Truck
Mickey.
Fires bananas at the monster, which makes the monster trip, which is
well, first,
awesome.
The
it's
fantastic
the
banana missiles. Yes.
Awesome shit.
So, do you want a GT-02, Mickey?
No, I just want to continue on here. We're stalling for time.
Okay.
I doubt the toy fires banana missiles.
Well, that's I like that true. The banana missiles, though, they shed their casing into banana peels. That's the best part.
And then you slip on them.
Right.
Yes.
It's the ultimate two-stage weapon.
It's fantastic.
Yes. Monkey Truck has proven his worth today.
Red and yellow quickly blow up the monster, the needle droid.
Which is and also now, impressive, because it's like, we'll be 30 seconds, and they actually are 30 seconds.
But now the sun has set, and it's nighttime. We're having a nighttime Megazord battle, and it's not even a movie, which is awesome.
Holy crap.
And it's not obviously on a soundstage, either. Like the Deca Ranger episode of Gokaiger.
Huh, yeah.
Or every...
Right, well, that was the most recent example to use, though, Fort Max.
And even then, this could still be on a soundstage, but they're using, like, a lot of
Oh, it probably is.
They're using, like, a lot of transposed backdrops of an actual city, which is also, you know, it gives
you
a nice...
Yeah, I actually recognize some of that actual landscape from older Kamen Rider episodes.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of their common, no pun, one of their common nighttime shooting locations.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, they did their best to not put the nighttime battle on a soundstage any more or more obviously than they had to.
Yeah. Because even if it is, it's not as incredibly obvious as it usually is.
Yeah, and with the compositing, they still were able to make Ace move around the same way it has been the last two episodes.
Mm-hmm. And still no stock footage on its transformation.
Yeah.
I know it all looks great now, but my brain is still kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Well, yeah, I know. It actually has because you didn't have anywhere near the on-screen transport effects that you had in the first two.
What?
Well, this episode didn't have anywhere near the on-screen transport effects that either of the first two episodes did.
What do you mean?
When things transport, do they do it on-screen or they do it off-screen? This isn't a hard concept to grasp.
I see what he's saying. Then
the needle droid shoves the needle in the monkey's ass, and the Megazord battle continues on for a bit.
Ow.
You could at least pay him a nickel first.
About this time, GoBuster Ace shows up to continue the battle while the monkey goes on to deliver the energy to the starving kids at the orphanage or whatever the f*** they were doing earlier in the episode.
Hospital.
Yeah, same difference.
Same difference. Wait.
So GoBuster Ace steals his kills, so I guess Guy designed that mecha?
Well, they're still trying to sell it. Is the GT-02 out yet?
It's supposed to be out pretty soon.
So it's not out yet.
Next week or the week after, I believe.
So...
And then there's a two-pack that and the rabbit thing at the end of the month.
So Monkey Truck goes on and swings from the bottom of the bridge till he falls into the water.
Yeah, imagine that. The bridge is not able to support its weight.
Not able to support someone, a giant robot trying to swing from...
Kind of what I just said.
Yeah.
When it's on fire as well.
Fire makes everything better.
You would think it'd be faster to convert back into truck mode and just drive. But yeah. No.
Well, trucks are slow and monkeys are fast.
The bridge would just rotate to where it needed to go. Okay, who is doing that?
Doing what?
Not me.
I don't think
doing what?
What's the problem for it, Max?
Sounds like someone was drinking through a straw at the microphone.
I didn't hear anything.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, God.
Now I can't hear anything.
Intro quote. Okay, so you want to finish the episode up for us?
Then blow up the monster and save everyone in the hospital. The end.
Oh, okay.
After the power goes out just long enough for all the life support stuff to stop.
Yeah. And then Yoko has another moment of
being
nice.
It's Japan. They can replace those people.
Yoko has a moment of being nice for like 5 seconds, which is quickly turning her being a bitch again.
Hard to fight your nature.
Yeah. Though again,
this time Romu doesn't then mention that she's looking a bit more chubby.
Yeah.
Well, that's because she hadn't had enough to eat today.
Even then, still again, I can't really blame her when she is bitchy entirely.
It's part of her weakness.
Oh yeah, that's not her weak. The hypoglycemia is just an excuse. Her weakness, her weak point is actually that she's kind of a bitch.
She's a 16-year-old girl.
That's weak.
You know, they never. I don't think they really addressed what happened to those people who got converted into Bioman.
Yeah, people. I was gonna mention that. I kind of think that they were just sort of
dead
because they got like those metal cells injected into them and their faces transform and everything. I think they're kind of doomed.
Maybe that'll come back later on.
Probably not.
It could.
Unless, if
they'll be much weaker.
If Enter keeps doing stuff like that, like transforming people into Vagrus, then maybe.
So, still pretty good this week.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a decent track record so far.
3 for 3.
Yeah. I think good stuff. I think that at that point it's safe to say it's like, okay, this is probably going to be pretty good overall. Because one thing I was afraid of is that they were going to keep up like the counter thing over the fight and it'd be kind of, you know, really predictable. Yeah. But they avoided that this week.
Well, probably just because the timer was going to be 41 minutes.
Well, that's why they did it though, I imagine.
When it's shorter, they'll have it back again.
Yeah, they can alternate. If they alternate, at least it should be fine. And the Megazords are actually proving to have some variety with them.
Kind of, yeah.
A bit.
We have no idea how long that'll last.
Enough so far that it's not yet gotten tiring.
Right.
I'm still amused by the fact we have two monsters fighting at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah, that's different.
I like how efficient they were when they actually got to the Needle Droid, because they didn't hardly fight him at all. They knocked him out of a window, and then they killed him.
Yeah, apparently the small monsters are just not that strong in direct combat.
Apparently.
Because it wasn't even time for...
are just that strong.
Well, it wasn't even time for Special Buster this week. It was just, you know, the normal...
Well, they
normal
had
finishing
they
attack.
They hadn't used the finishing attack with the daggers yet.
Well, that's true. They still have to sell that toy.
I like
imagine
how
they'll get a lot tougher when it's time for 4 and 5 to show up.
Yeah, Stag and Beat. But I liked how also when they did the finishing attack, like it had Yoko jumping using her leaping ability while Hiromu was just running. So it's still calling back to the abilities they're supposed to have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. However long that will last.
Not much longer, I don't think.
Probably not.
We'll just have to see if this breaks the mold of previous Sentai and they actually keep up some of the stuff through the series.
Because it's like you keep expecting, well, that's nice. How long until it's gone?
Right. Okay, well, let's take a break and we'll come back for this week's Power Playback.
Go!
It was the year 2005. FigureReviews.com launched with one simple goal. Review what we wanted, the way we wanted. Today, we continue to do exactly that with the quality and attention to detail that comes from 7 years' experience. FigureReviews.com combines expert analysis and photography to show you what to look for, what to look out for, and what not to look for at all. We're your source for toy reviews. FigureReviews.com.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
This could go bad any time, though, so let's power playbacking.
It's Superhero Time. It started bad.
Yes, it did.
It's time for Power Playback on Superhero Time. Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at Superhero_Time.
So, Power Playback this week is Gokaiger the movie, The Flying Ghost Ship.
Tell us all about it.
Certainly. No, you're going to do that, Mickey.
Nope, I'm not.
Okay, Ken.
I guess, sure, why not?
Do you have notes prepared, Ken?
Nah.
Good!
I'm kind of prepared for this anyway. Anyway, we start with guy running along.
A guy?
Guy running along acting like guy. I imagine this is his morning routine, just making a fool of himself in public.
Well, why would that be limited to his morning routine?
No, this is just particular.
Particular.
Yes.
That's hard to say on purpose.
I don't know where the hell that came from.
The South, that's where.
Or the lack of sleep from last night. I don't know, one or the other. Probably a combination of the two, really. Anyhow, with summer Sentai movies, you kind of get one thing. They're probably filmed a lot earlier in the series. And like with the Shinkenger movie, where Genta was not present, except for connecting scenes here and there, you get that same feeling with Guy. Because he's out here by himself and he gets randomly attacked by a Gokaiyo that is not actually Gokaiyo. You think the eye patch would have been a tip-off, or the hook hand.
Or the cape.
Well, remember, it's Guy.
He notices the cape. Anyway, Gojujin gets his ass kicked.
In all three of its modes. That's good advertising.
Yeah. And then Guy's absent for the rest of the movie.
Well, almost.
Mostly, basically. Again, you can tell it was
It's a summer movie. It exists to be short, crazy, and to shit over the Sixth Ranger.
Yeah, regardless, you can basically tell it was probably filmed before Guy had even joined the cast, most of it.
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah, probably. And you've said that a few times now, so.
Well, it's not like you never repeat yourself, Fort Max.
This is true.
It's not like you never repeat yourself, XV.
It's not like you never repeat yourself, Fort Max.
Moving along. The ship apparently holds something called the God Eye. And they're going to go find it.
But a God Eye was made out of popsicle sticks and yarn.
Anyway, Walt Gill also notices this, and it's nice to see him again, if briefly. Extremely briefly.
Doing exactly what he does best.
Being Walt Gill.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, how hilarious is TV Nihon's translation of Walt Gill?
I have not seen any of their Gokaiju episodes. How is their translation of his...
Yeah,
did you not see it?
I saw Overtime. I have not seen a single episode, except maybe the first episode from...
Now, how did anyone know how TV Nihon did the Renkuro stuff in...
No, I keep forgetting to go and look at that episode.
I don't really have the motivation to do that.
Yeah, I don't really care anymore. Okay, yeah. So how did they process Gil's name?
It's, I believe they wrote it out as using it, make it as Japanese as they could.
So
it's like Walsugaru-sama or something.
Waruzugiru?
Oil Gil?
Oh. What, so
it's got lots of extra L's and R's and U's.
So is Damras Damarasu then too?
Yeah.
Berizorgu? Oh, wait, it actually is?
No, actually, no. There's not about Insaron is Insan. There's no R in it.
Huh? But it clearly has an R.
Well, they took the R out.
It's on. How?
Shouldn't they have replaced it with an L?
It's on. It's sound. So, why does
so
he
after another visit with Commander Nepotism?
Oh, it's too short. Yes, anyway, the girls spot the glow ship as they're flying about, searching for it. And then they go and land in that thing, and that's a f***ing huge ship.
Yeah, what did Joe say? It was like 20 times taller than the Galleon?
It's at least that, if not more.
Mickey, what are you doing over at XV's place?
Huh?
What?
XV just kind of Cylon'd.
Really?
I didn't hear it.
I did.
Weird.
God, I'm hearing the same things as Fort Max.
You two are twinsies.
Shoot me now. Anyway, the Gokaijers wander in, and they stumble into Casper, the 3D movie.
Yeah.
While the
this is less frightening than Casper.
While the Zangek try to land, and they miss the ship with a Looney Tunes moment, and that's all we see of them for the rest of the movie.
Oops.
Yeah. Poor Isarn did not get to use her new weapon.
You mean Insan?
Anyway, back to the Gokaijers and Casper.
I believe you mean the theme song ghosts.
Yes, cue musical number.
Of them looks up I'm's dress.
I will give them credit for that.
I believe that was the ghost voiced by the female vocalist for the Go Ranger theme.
Oh, so these were actual...
These ghosts... One of them was voiced by the... singer for the main singer for the Go Ranger theme, who also did Battleship Yamato.
Okay, yeah, but what about the others?
The others, well, the female vocalist from the Go Ranger theme and the singer for Gokaiger theme.
Oh, well. It's kind of nice that the scene was not completely pointless and adds absolutely nothing to the movie, except to go, hey kids, this is in 3D!
Oh, that's right. This was supposed to be in 3D, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. You can notice all
you
the
can notice by the stuff that flies towards the camera.
Yes. But the Gokaijers just walk off and ignore the Casper ghost.
Oh, no, they don't ignore them entirely. When the ghosts tell them exactly where the treasure is located, that they're supposed to not tell them where the treasure is located.
Oh, right.
They're listening
and then they
at
can't
that point.
Figure out how they figured out where the treasure is located.
Yeah.
Anyway, they walk up and see an Indiana Jones set.
A very small Indiana Jones set.
Yes,
well, it's Japan.
Everything in Japan is small. Anyway, it's some skeleton pirate warrior guy named Lost Ark. He's wandered the universe, and I don't know. He sends them off.
Lost Ark, like Raiders of the.
Lost Ark. Oh, God. Oh, my.
So it really is an Indiana Jones set.
That is so
fantastic.
I was a lot closer than I really thought I was, too.
I'm sure your brain made the connection subconsciously, and that's what led you to the
Apparently
Indiana
it
Jones
did. So they get zapped to...
Your brain is a lot smarter than you are.
They get zapped to...
I debate that.
I think I... Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, his brain is just a deck.
His brain is an XV?
Oh, that's frightening. Anyway, they get zapped to one of Toei's stock sets. And they
First he mentions... Well, first, remember, he's saying that the God Eye can grant...
Oh, yeah, they can grant any
wish. Can grant a wish to anyone, but only someone who's alive.
Yeah, and Lost Ark is dead, apparently. He's a ghost. Oh. Pretty spry for a ghost.
Well, I'm sure when you're a ghost, you don't have arthritis anymore.
Anyway, the Gokaigers get confronted with mooks. So many mooks.
The cannon fodder army.
Yes, and I find it funny that yet again this is kind of another Shinkenger call out where they are led by the Nanashi, and not whatever it was from Gosager.
Yeah.
Well, the Nanashi actually look more are almost monster of the weak quality suit wise.
And also, they would occasionally have personalities in Shinkenger.
Yeah, this is true.
That's an important quality.
But,
that's
they're not cannon fodder. They're the angry spirits of the countless monsters defeated by a Super Sentai.
So with some horrible Time Ranger esque motion blur, they transform.
What was up with that?
I hated it. That's the one problem I have trying to watch Time Ranger. Is following those damn fights.
Bullet time. Low quality Japanese bullet
time. You should try being the person that encodes it.
Oh, you poor bastard.
No, I'm not the person, but you should see some of the scripts that are put together to make it look not like shit.
Oh dear.
Because the DVDs are shit.
Oh.
Oh, it is from what, the 2000s?
Well, no, it's worse. It's like, now the, starting with like Car Ranger episode 6, it's kind of like blend. All the fields are. I mean, it starts looking not. It looks not that good.
Yeah, they blend the fields when they put it on tape and stuff.
They didn't always have stuff. They usually didn't have stuff.
I've completely lost track of what Formax is actually saying at this point.
You know, the sad thing is, I actually understand it.
But now
I would understand it if I could keep up with where he was at a certain point.
It needs more nouns, really.
Clean, but stuff's not always on the same pattern, but it's always clean images. But
this is like last week with Ken's awesomely non-descriptive sentence.
Kind of takes the bad parts of both.
You know damn well there's no nouns in Texas.
Anyway, the mooks all fuse into a monster, and they break dance.
Yes.
That's high.
And then, hey, they're dancing. Why not? Let's pull out Battle Fever.
And then suddenly the building they're fighting under as lights and as like dance
Disco.
Floor lights.
Yes, because cat drugs.
And then the foot soldiers decide that they should be in charge of the fusion.
Yeah, instead of the Nanashi. So they blow up and hit them all with baseballs. They get knocked to it.
No, they attack with what else? What else do you attack a dancing monster with?
Battle Fever, like I said. Yeah. I already said this.
But no, they don't attack the mook with the monster with baseballs. Baseballs.
No. I think the monster explodes and attacks them with baseballs.
Yeah, so they end up on the baseball field.
And where they meet Baseball Mask from Go Ranger. So apparently Luca has actually read Guy's Encyclopedia up to the first series at least, and knows
because none of them ask who the f is that.
Yeah. Well, they read the first page or so. So
either
just
that, or they figure this guy's
so
head looks ridiculous
about it.
Either that, or they figure this guy's head looks ridiculous, so we should use our ridiculous head team that we haven't used already.
Yeah, which they hardly ever. They really did not use Go Ranger enough in the series.
No.
Like they used it in the first episode, and then they used it here. And then occasionally there would be one person might transform into one member. That's really about it, though.
Well, the suits do look pretty awful. Think of how little they use Battle Fever, too.
Yeah, but
that's understandable, though.
Well, that's anyway, my point, though.
It's
they
time...
only have so much drugs.
It's time for the Go Ranger Hurricane and G3 Princess.
Because cat drugs.
Go Ranger had hey, many more, of them.
More Kegaratia. That's always okay.
Yeah, this is... I mean, I can't really argue with the usage here. However, it makes
really?
Baseball
even
magic.
If it doesn't make any f***ing sense.
Right.
Well, it's combining Go Ranger with Go Wander. What do you expect?
I guess.
Anyway, it makes him blow up, and then they get blasted to a warehouse set where they meet Agent Abrera from Decaranger and all of the cannon fodder from it.
And there was a lot of that Decaranger.
Yes, there was. What was that, three varieties of it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, he mentions about 1,500 souls.
I think he's talking
of
about
all the monsters the various Super Sentai have defeated over the years.
It could apply to the Decarangers, too.
This is true. Because he had a lot of hardware there. Anyway.
But those are robots. They don't have souls.
Marvelous is hesitating. Joe gives him a pep talk. Nearly punches him.
Punches is a euphemism, right?
Not quite.
Oh.
Not yet. Not till they get back to the ship. So the other four throw up a peace sign, not a peace sign, a white flag. Joe drops the gun. Joe drops his gun. They act like they're gonna give up, but then he does kind of an awesome kick up of the gun, shoots them, and allows Marvelous to escape as a Jetman while they transform into Decaranger appropriately to fight him.
Because the mouth of the skull in the sky is closing and they're losing their chance to get out.
Yep, so they basically sacrifice themselves in order to let him get through. Thus, he goes up, fights Lost Ark in a really kind of very cool fight. For a one-on-one fight, anyway.
I noticed in this fight that Marvelous isn't fighting in his normal style. He's fighting a lot more pirate-like than he usually does.
Yeah, he really
Marvelous' style is a lot more big damn hero.
Yeah.
Here he's acting a lot more Jack Sparrow-y.
Yeah, he's like swinging from shit and just using the entire environment to fight him. Which is nice, I think.
Yeah. It's
really he has more of an environment to fight in because they have, you know, probably a bigger budget for this.
Yeah. It is a nice change of pace, at least. Mm-hmm. And his final wave collides with, well, basically, this other guy's equivalent to a final wave, which is actually a lot like the Slash Attack Garo. Actually, it's a lot like the Slash Attack Garo has. You know, where he lights his sword on fire?
Oh.
Same basic principle. But, of course, he wins and then uses the God Eye to wish his friends back. It then
he
turns
wins because Marvel's plan all along was to use the explosion created by the colliding attacks as a distraction rather
yeah.
than to just destroy him.
Yep, so he uses the God Eye to get his friends back. And then when
so
they come back...
So he stole that from Flynn.
Then when they get back, the thing is turned to stone because apparently it's a one-wish thing. So instead
of... No, it just turns to stone for a year and then it regenerates.
However, what he tells them is kind of great because he's like, oh, it was just a fake. So because he could have wished for anything, but he just wished for them to come back. But, so he just tells them it's a fake. And so.
Why don't he wish for more wishes?
Ooh. Always the question, isn't it? But they transform, roll call, final wave, and then the evil Gokaio rises up. Of course, there's no explanation whatsoever what the hell it is. But then they call on
Gokaio.
Or why it is. So they call on Gokaio themselves, and they have a really freaking awesome fight.
And it's all CG, at least
they
in
really,
Megazord.
Yeah,
well, almost
really...
all, except for there's some
well, there's
super
a couple
close-ups.
Things, but
yeah, they have a really freaking CG fight.
Yes. And it's kind of like the fight with Marvelous and Zoldark. It's very piratey for giant robots.
Well, it helps that they scaled the giant ghost ship to be the size of, you know, a real ship to a Megazord.
Yeah. But it's a... very nice fight, especially for a Gokaiger mecha fight.
Because it's all CG.
Yeah. And again, it's a Gokaiger mecha fight. That is like you can count the number of fights that are at least as interesting as this on one hand.
And they're all CG.
Yep.
Well, except for that one time Guy almost stepped on everybody.
Yes. Man, why could not more episodes have been like that? Anyway,
didn't write them that way.
They destroy them by calling on Magi Dragon, Pat Stryker, the Dragon Header,
Geki Tiger,
and
Barry Balloon.
Barry Balloon.
Why pick those? Why not pick the ones with merchandising?
Well,
how many of the merchandising ones actually had come out by the time the movie was released?
They came out like halfway through the series, so everybody but Furai Maru and Makalkin. Anyway, Fate Gokaio blows up, ship blows up, movie over. Guy shows up after he was actually hired. And that's the movie.
And is very disappointed to learn that it was a fake.
So Marvel says, anyway.
Yeah.
But the others can tell the truth. Well, maybe not Doc, but I think everyone else does.
Joe, of course, does. Because Joe can read Marvels like a book.
Is that a euphemism?
It is now.
Oh.
Probably. I like how every time Navi appears in this movie, she's CGI and just like right in front of the screen. So you can tell, obviously, that was a really obvious 3D effect.
I'm sure that looked kind of interesting in 3D.
Yeah.
Nothing interesting in 3D.
You trust your whore mouth.
I've heard A to Z actually look kind of decent in 3D.
In 3D? But
in 3D. Coming soon to a theater near you.
A to Z didn't need 3D to be good. That's the point.
Yeah. But it was a decent little jaunt, at least.
It was okay.
And it's the last Gokaiger we'll get for... Oh, wait. Gokaiger vs. Gavin comes out this month. So, we'll
and
get some
actually,
more...
the rental Raw is already out, and...
Okay, I know what I'm watching tonight.
Supposedly, Overtime's version is almost done already.
Sweet. So sure I guess we'll be discussing that in a couple weeks, probably.
Probably. Maybe next month. I'm expecting
to enjoy...
Yeah, if it
comes out early enough, we'll probably push Danger 5 back.
No. No, I wanted to push this back and do Danger 5 this week, but, you know. No, I'm expecting to enjoy Gokaiger versus Gavin more than I enjoyed this. Or at least I'm hoping.
Well, yeah, like I've been saying, Gokaiger versus Gavin really looks like... a big budget Gokaiger movie that is focused mainly on them, and it just happens to have Gavin in it. Even though he's obviously a focus of it, it's a lot less like previous Versus movies, which are kind of a shared property. It really seems to have a lot of its focus on Gokaiger itself.
Right. You know, what I figured out watching this after a couple weeks of GoBusters is that GoBusters has really made me not care about Gokaiger very much anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's like I was saying. I mean, when Gokaiger ended, I was ready for it to end.
Yeah, well, it's kind of done.
It ended satisfyingly.
That book is closed. It was a good book, but now it's back up on the shelf.
Yeah, I got that feeling like it was
like,
satisfying. It was satisfying when it ended. It's like when Shinkenger ended, it was kind of bittersweet because the way it ended was just – it's not bad. It's actually very good. But it was just kind of melancholy in the way that its final scenes played out. Gokaiger, it ended exactly how I wanted it to end, with them sailing off for a new adventure basically.
It's just – these style changes in GoBusters is – it's so good, and it's stuff I didn't know I wanted until it was there. And now, looking back at Gokaiger, which is, you know, the previous typical Sentai deal, it does not compare favorably.
Well, I wouldn't say that, because I still like the classical Sentai flavor and style.
To a point.
I enjoy it, and Gokaiger was basically celebrating that and did it as well as you could do it, I think. Basically, it was for all the tropes and trappings that they have for the first 35 years, Gokaiger took all of them and did them as well as they probably possibly could be done at any point in time.
Yeah, and now GoBusters is going a completely different direction, and I really like what they're doing with that instead.
Yeah, but I don't think it necessarily needs to be compared as such, because they're kind of two different entities.
Until they cross over in Superhero War.
Oh yeah, but that's like 50 different entities at once.
Well, yeah.
Because there's also the Kamen Rider.
No, there'll be Denno and 49 background characters.
For what?
I'm expecting to enjoy Gokaiger vs. Gavin more just because it's a full-length movie or more full-length. You know, it's not just a 20-something minute excuse to do, you know, Gokaio versus Gokaio.
Well, look at it like this. Compare this to what preceded it in the movie theater, which was Always Wonderful. Now, you had to sit through Always Wonderful to see Gokaiger.
Are you sure they went in that order?
I think they
Wouldn't
did.
Wouldn't the short one have come first?
That's what I would think.
I actually think that usually the Super Sentai one comes second. I think it did at least with All Riders vs. Die Shock.
Maybe that's why they're always shorter then, because they expect that fewer people will actually still be sitting there to see it.
Yeah, because I might be wrong, but I want to think that the Shinkenger movie came after All Riders vs. Die Shocker.
Well, anyway, yeah, I mean, this movie was okay. It just didn't, like, blow me away like most of Gokaiger did while it was on.
Yeah.
It didn't do anything different. How about that? It was just, you know, typical
Gokaiger fare. It was just kind of a basic thing, and you got a cool fight out of it. A couple cool fights out of it.
It could have just been another episode of Gokaiger with a little more special effects. You know, it didn't do anything special.
Basically, it's kind of like a
which
glossy...
still puts it ahead of the Shinkenger movie.
It's kind of like a glossy filler episode.
Yeah, that works. Okay, so for next week, we are doing Danger 5 Episode 2, right?
Yes.
Nazi the dinosaurs.
Nazi dinosaurs with guns?
Yes.
Yes.
Fort Max.
I should watch the pilot before then, too, I guess.
You'll be providing that for us, Fort Max?
Yes.
Can you do... do you have the third episode yet?
No.
Will you have that by the end of the week, Fort Max?
What?
Will you have that by the end of the week?
I am not sure.
Okay, well, you know, later this week, just... can you post up whatever you have? I'd like to watch more than just the one episode.
Sure.
Okay, so look for that.
Really
on
short
our...
answers.
Yeah, sure. okay, so look for that. We'll post that on our Twitter at @superhero_time on Friday if I remember to.
Unlike this week, well, when was it this week posted?
Saturday evening.
I thought it was Sunday.
No, I don't think so. Okay, so I think that'll be our show for this week.
Hooray!
Yeah, we did a nice, much shorter one than the last few weeks.
Gee, I wonder how that could have happened.
I don't care. I'm just happy it'll be shorter.
That's what she said.
Ha.
Really?
Ha. Okay, so anything else this week, guys?
No, I think that's hitting all the targets.
Or missing them, anyway.
I hit your mom's target.
We aimed at them anyhow.
I aimed at your mom.
She died.
Okay, well, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Follow us on Twitter at @Superhero_Time for weekly power playback and updates about the show. Visit tfradio.net or find us on iTunes for previous episodes and to subscribe to the show. Superhero Time is a TF Radio Network production. Copyright 2012.
Twitter's a lot better than forums in some respects, in that you can pick who you listen to.
Yeah.
I don't know. It keeps recommending dicks for me to follow, so I don't think it's all that great.
Well, don't go by what's recommended. Otherwise, right now it's asking me to follow people I don't even know.
Well, that's okay. I've followed lots of people I don't know that turned to be pretty cool. Like Rural, you know, he's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But I mean, like, that's from... that's from, like, seeing interactions with other people, though. Just, I don't want to follow...
What? Oh, interactions.
Yes.
For some reason, I heard erections.
Wow. Oh, we know where your mind is.
Super Hero Time. 次回もお楽しみに。
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.